All right, turn with me this morning to Joshua chapter 20. And we'll begin with verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, and that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And he who flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled." Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this morning again, as we are privileged to open your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. This may seem like an odd question, but do you ever feel sometimes like you just need to get away? Somebody says every day. Maybe you have a favorite place. That for you, even just the thought of being there is a comfort. Yeah. It's like, you know, I've been to the mountains of Tennessee one time, and I can go there in my mind and have a little bit of rest. Of course, that, you know, is interrupted by reality in short order. But you know, that's a kind of a place. You know, we all have something like that. Back about 1963, in between writing surf songs and car songs, Brian Wilson wrote and recorded with the Beach Boys a little ballad called "In My Room." He said, there's a place where I can go and I can just tell all my secrets there. I can go and I can just be at rest in my room. A few years later, in 1967, a fellow by the name of Ralph Carmichael, he wrote a song called "A Quiet Place." And it's been recorded by a lot of different groups and individuals. He said, "There is a quiet place far from the rapid pace where God can soothe my troubled mind. Sheltered by a tree and flower, there in my quiet hour with him, I can find peace, I can find rest." I think that God graciously gives us places that, just because of where they are, the atmosphere of the place, whatever it is, it tends to pull us away from detrimental and sinful occupations of our mind, and more easily causes us to consider his grace, to open his word, and to just seek him, you know, a place of sanctuary. The church should be such a place. The room that we occupy, that we call a sanctuary, should be such a place. Yeah. God willing, one day we'll have a new building and we might be able to more effectively promote this idea that this is God's house, that this is sanctuary, that this is not the Bristolville Speedway, you know, that this is a place for rest and that for contemplation on God himself. God, it seems that God has always had special places for his people. And while it is certain beyond any doubt that God is holy and God is just and that one day God will judge us, we must never forget that he loves us and that he cares for us. That God is not all wrathful. He's also not all, you know, just all lovey-dovey. You know, He is God. But there are many of there are many attributes to him. And we sometimes we tend to dwell solely on one side and ignore the other. And it goes both directions, you know what I'm saying? God does care for us. In Numbers 35, God told Moses that once Canaan is taken, that the Levites were to receive 48 cities and the accompanying pasture land. Now, we're going to go a little backwards this morning. I'm in chapter 21, but we're going to go back to 20. In chapter 21, it talks about the distribution of those cities to the Levites. They would not receive a land inheritance as the other tribes would. Remember, Simeon and Levi were penalized. They were not given an inheritance as the other brothers had, as the other tribes would receive. But they were not going to be banished. They were just going to be scattered throughout. They would be able to share in the goodness of their brothers, if you would. But they had nothing for themselves. The Levites, on the other hand, given these special cities, were also given the honor of carrying out the priestly duties. They were there to be the ministers to the people. And the cities that were spread out through Canaan were done in such a way that they were better able to minister to the people. They were there locally for them, if you would. So people weren't coming all the way down, say, from Hebron down into the land of Judah to be ministered to by the priest. The priests were scattered out. The Levites were there and about to minister. Of those 48 cities that were given to the Levites, six of those cities were called cities of refuge. At that time, in that part of the world, if a family member was killed, if someone was killed, whether it was accidental or whether it was intentional, whether, you know, you got mad and murdered somebody, the family of the victim would have a family meeting. They would gather together, the family, the clan, everybody would come around. And someone, usually it would be the closest male to the victim, would be appointed the avenger of blood. The law of the day was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And the avenger of blood would be saddled with the obligation to go and get vengeance. They didn't feel that was a terrible thing. The families were entitled to that. If somebody in their family was killed, again, whether accidentally or intentionally, that was a loss to the family. And they had the right of vengeance, I guess is the word. They had the right to go back and make it right, if you would. If the guilty party, if the manslayer, could get to one of these cities of refuge, and if they made their case to the elders of the city that they were innocent, it was an accident, they would be welcomed into the city, and their safety would then be guaranteed. The avenger of blood could not reach them within the walls of the city of refuge. If they left the city, if they got bored, you know, the theater wasn't showing anything they wanted to see, there weren't any concerts that night, and they wanted to go out of the city for a day, they could do that. But if they left the city, then all bets were off. The avenger of blood could take their life, and he would be innocent in doing that. They had to stay within the city. Now, it's important also to understand that this gift, if you would, this act of grace, was only available to those who were not guilty of intentional murder. If you were a premeditated murderer, you didn't get to go into the city and be safe. If you committed premeditated murder, if you, as they say, lied in wait or laid in wait for someone and took their life, then your life would be taken. You know, you didn't get a free ride in that way. God established these cities of refuge for the people for reasons. What is it that we can possibly gain from that? We don't have those cities of refuge now. One thing we can understand is that God values human life. It's not because man is anything in and of himself, but because he is made in the image of God. God values human life and does not condone the indiscriminate taking of it. God himself instituted capital punishment to make men reconsider. In the ninth chapter of Genesis, he says to Noah, he says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Capital punishment is by God's design. It's by God's institution. Too often in throughout time, we've heard pious people stand up and say, oh, well, we can't be taking the life of a murderer. We can't be doing those things because, you know, that's just making us equal to them. That's just telling us that we're really no better than them. That it's better if we just lock them away and let them rot, you know, forever and ever. That wasn't God's method. In Exodus 21:12, he said, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. The death penalty for murder was instituted because man is created in God's image. And too valuable to just be wantonly destroyed. Sometimes we get too smart for our own good. We've got a guy that's been in Ohio, been sitting on death row in Ohio for 30 years, almost 30 years. He and another fellow tortured a 12-year-old boy and killed him. And he's managed. He was in his trial. I mean, he had a fair trial and was given a death sentence, and he still sits in prison. That's not God's display of justice. That was not by God's design. By the same token, in order to prevent unbridled bloodshed, a way of escape was made for the unintentional manslayer. While the guy guilty of premeditated murder was sentenced to death, God graciously made a way for the guy who accidentally killed somebody to escape. The illustration that was given in the scripture was two guys go out and are chopping wood. And while they're out chopping wood, the one guy, the head of his axe flies off and kills the other guy. Well, he had no malice towards that fellow, presumably. He didn't mean to kill him. He didn't sit and wait to try, you know, wait until the guy came by and then, you know, heaved his axe at him. It was an accident. It just happened. And so in Exodus 21:12, where he says the man will die who kills someone, in the very next verse, in the 13th verse, he says, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. It's important to note just in that verse, it says that God delivered him into his hand. We see accidents. It happens all the time. We see accidents. I was coming out of Pittsburgh Friday. And I just came upon an accident. There was like five cars that are all just boom, 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 boom. And I was able to miss that and be merrily on my way. But we look at those things and we say they're accidents. But God says in the scriptures, in the case even of this accidental death, that God delivered the life. God took the life of the one who was killed. It was not accidental, it was providential. It can never escape our mind, our thinking, that God is not, I mean, that God is in control. God providentially governs life. Things do not happen accidentally. Secondly, the cities were open not to Jews alone. But in verse 9 of chapter 20, it says, all the children of Israel and for the stranger who dwelt among them. Foreigners could benefit from that city of refuge. It was a universal code of justice that was instituted. It didn't just cover the Jews. It covered everybody involved in that area. And the law functioned, again, the law functioned in such a way as to require the individual to understand that it was not merely civil in nature, but it was also religious. So whether you were Jew or foreigner, you brought in there, because you were being blessed by this opportunity to have your life saved, the conditions that were associated with your staying in that city forced you to understand that this was of a religious nature, that God was involved in these things. You could only benefit if you stayed in the city until the death of the high priest. Now, if you got bored and went and knocked off the high priest, then all bets were off. See, they didn't count anymore. You know. But you had to stay there until the high priest died. You were reminded that God was involved in his blessing to you. The foundation of the city of refuge is in the character of God himself. God's desire to preserve his people. Now, it's easy to see similarities between the cities of refuge and the work of Christ on our behalf, but the analogy is not perfect. The cities of refuge were for people who were innocent of committing a crime. But before God, we are in no way innocent. We are guilty, guilty, guilty. And even though these cities were available, and they were strategically placed in the land, there were six of them, they were strategically placed there, they weren't necessarily easy to get to. If you were in the wrong place, it could be a difficult trek to get there. And Christ is always near to us. So the analogy breaks down a little bit. But there are some spiritual parallels. One thing, the Jews were to clearly indicate the way to the cities. In Deuteronomy 19:3, it says roads were to be built to get there. You weren't supposed to just have to trek through the fields or whatever. They were to have roads built in order to get there. Dr. Boyce was citing extra-biblical writings, and he said that in addition to these roads that were built, it was seen to it that there were bridges that were built over ravines, that there were clear signs that were put up to indicate a city of refuge. And apparently these signs were large enough that a running individual could see them from a distance and be able to know which way to go, to find their way there, to get to the place where they would be safe. We, as Christians, have an obligation to point sinners in the right direction. We have an obligation to show people Christ. Look, everybody is guilty. There is not a single innocent person ever been born. We're all in need of Christ. We're all in need of His salvation. And those of us who have been blessed by the grace of God to have received that, we are obligated to point others in that direction. Now, we are not obligated to make them take that direction. We can't do it. You know, you can't change a man's mind. Only God can do that. But we have an obligation to at least point the direction, to show them a sign, if you would. The city, the gates to the cities of refuge, unlike other cities, were never locked. They were always open, even in difficult times, in times of war, where you know that in the fortified cities, the gates would close, they'd bar them up, and they'd do everything they could. The cities of refuge were never that way. They were the gates were open at all times and in all conditions. Just as are the arms of Jesus to those who will come to Him. John 6:37, Jesus said, "The one who comes to Me, I will not cast out." He knows who they are. He brings them to Him. The cities of refuge were not for the Jews only. Salvation through Christ is not limited to just a small little bundle of people as far as, you know, our select little group here. You know, if this is it, man, this is it. If you're here, we're going to heaven. Nobody else. Don't learn to love each other now. The salvation of Christ is available to men and to women, to black folks, to white folks, to old people, to young people, to rich, to poor, to people who are educated, to people who don't know how to swing a hammer. Salvation is available. And if the manslayer did not go to the city of refuge, there was no hope for him. Doesn't matter how innocent he was, doesn't matter anything at all. The Avenger of Blood could take his life if he didn't go to the city of refuge. Each of us is being pursued by an Avenger of Blood that we call death. And death is coming for each one of us, and we don't know when it's going to be here. Some of you this morning may be sitting here in another 70 years. There is always that chance that some of you may not get home today. Death comes for all of us. But Jesus said in the 11th chapter of John, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that comes to Me, though he dies, will live." Jesus has made the way of escape. The avenger of blood cannot take you if you are a child of God. You say, yeah, well, you know, this physical life passes away. It does. But this physical life is not your life. Sometimes that's hard to imagine. Sometimes that's hard to get a grip on. Because, you know, we see somebody standing and looking back at us in a mirror every day. You know, we're the living, breathing individual that goes out and earns a paycheck. Does whatever it is that we do. We forget about that. But this is the shell of a man. The life is inside. The life keeps going on. And in Christ, you're guaranteed an eternal life. Lastly, the city of refuge brought safety. There is no safer place to be than in Christ. Sometimes you want to get away. Sometimes you need to get away. Sometimes you have to get to that city of refuge to find a safe place to rest. 32nd Psalm, the seventh verse says, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." In Proverbs, the 18th chapter, 10th verse, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." God doesn't put us out here without any hope. He doesn't say, just go get it. You know, you deal with what comes around you and I'm just ignoring you. Make sure you see me on Sunday. He doesn't do that. His gates are always open to his people. Run in there. Take advantage of what God provides to you. Don't be so bullheaded that you think you can do it on your own. Because you can't. Close with one more piece of scripture. Scripture that inspired Martin Luther to write the great hymn, "Mighty Fortress is Our God." 46th Psalm says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling," those are conditions that will rattle the soul. That speaks of the world in which you live. The crazy people that you encounter on a day-to-day basis. The trials that you face that are not necessarily caused by other people. Trials that come up because of things within our own selves. These are the mountains. These are the waters that are troubled. "There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." That's God's word. It's true. Grab it. Don't let it go. Let's pray.